They sneak into the crowd. She sees them and lights up, begins to sing her ass off. And then in remembering that, obviously, they can't hear her, begins to sign the song as well, which wasn't like the hoity-toity, you know, proper way to audition. But in that moment, she was like, fuck it. I'm doing this for the fam. And this is me. Take it or leave it. And ultimately, they wound up taking her because she had that unique story to tell. What's up, folks? What's going on? Welcome to the Spun Today podcast, the only podcast that is anchored in writing, but unlimited in scope. I'm your host, Tony Ortiz, and I appreciate you listening. This is episode 257 of the Spun Today podcast, and in this episode, I speak about a couple of hilarious stand-up comedy specials that I watched recently. The first one being Akash Singh's Gaslit, and the second one being Fahim Anwar's House Money. And I also speak about watching, a little late to the game here, but watching the Oscar-winning film in 2018, I believe. Sorry, that's 2021. The Oscar-winning film, Coda. Stick around for all that good stuff, but first I wanted to tell you all about a way that you can help support this show. Your support absolutely means a ton and is definitely fuel for the fire that motivates me to continue to put out these episodes as well as my writing content. So if you can't support the Spun Today podcast, it is greatly appreciated. Here is one way you can do just that, and then we'll jump right into the episode. The Spun Today newsletter is available to each and every one of my listeners absolutely for free. All you have to do is go to spuntoday.com/subscribe and drop in your email address. What I'm going to do is brighten up everybody's least favorite day of the week by delivering 5 curated things within my weekly newsletter every Monday at noon. You're going to receive a photo of the week, a recommended podcast of the week. I listen to tons of podcasts from an array of varied interests. I cherry pick the very best ones so that you can check them out. I also share a video of the week, which can be anything from a tasty recipe to a dope rap battle to an enlightening TED talk. I also share a quote of the week. And finally, for my fellow wordsmiths out there, a word of the week, so that you can step up your vocab. Again, this curated list is yours absolutely free by going to spuntoday.com/subscribe and dropping in your email address, and you can unsubscribe at any time. Again, go to spuntoday.com/subscribe, drop in your email address, and you'll get the very next one. Comedian Akash Singh released his 2024 stand-up comedy special, Gaslit, 2 weeks ago as of the recording of this episode. And it is already up to 1.5 million views on YouTube. Absolutely, round of applause. Amazing feedback on that comedy special. Akash Singh, for those of you who don't know, is a stand-up comic, obviously, but he's also one half of... Or I actually shouldn't even say one half. He's a co-host of the Flagrant podcast alongside Andrew Schultz, Mark Gagnon, and Alex Media. Flagrant is a dope podcast. If you guys aren't familiar with it, definitely check it out. It's probably one of my favorite podcasts. Not probably, it is one of my favorite podcasts. I would say probably second, maybe, behind Rogan's. But I definitely appreciate all the laughs from it, as well as the different perspectives of Schultz, Akash, Mark and Alex, and the rest of the crew over there on Flagrant. They all have their unique personality reflected within the questions that they ask guests, for example, while maintaining an awesome chemistry amongst all of them. And that is definitely dope to see. But yeah, Akash put out this latest comedy special on YouTube. I'll link to it in the episode notes for you guys to check it out. It's absolutely hilarious. He opened it up with a traditional Indian dance, which was cool. That was definitely fun to watch and cool to see, you know, whenever anybody's, you know, bigging up their culture, where they're from, their roots. And the special was just really funny, really good writing, precise writing, had some really good misdirects that makes you anticipate the punchline that much more. Akash has a way of being really animated, in my opinion, and maybe animated is not the right term, but I can't think of a better one right now. But he's very, because you know, animated makes me think of more like Jim Carrey and physical humor type of thing, and it's not that, but he's more spunky, lively. And I like that about his comedy, and that definitely shows within this set as well. He's recently-ish married, I think a couple years ago maybe. And if I'm not mistaken, he's in his 30s, mid to late 30s, I would say. So definitely within my generation or close to it. I'm 39. So I can definitely appreciate a lot of the content that he speaks of within his special related to marriage, starting to pay more attention to politics and culture as we do as we grow older and start becoming washed. Now, let me stop. I can definitely appreciate his more centered type of view, his more objective view on both sides when it comes to politically. He was born and raised in Texas, grew up comedy-wise in New York, and I believe still lives in New York. So his POV is definitely framed, I would imagine, by those two experiences. And he has a large chunk in this special of liberals versus conservatives, which was definitely fun to watch. I could co-sign on a lot of it, if not all of it, in terms of him highlighting how I felt and feel about a lot of those topics. And he was essentially saying, and literally said, that us normal people, which is most of us in the middle, are just being gaslit by the fringes of both political parties. So we're being gaslit, meaning, you know, felt psychologically, felt, you know, made to feel crazy, essentially, by the both extremes of each party, of the Democratic Party on the left and the Republican Party on the right. And it's from, for most of us in the middle, from a gut instinctual type of feeling, we look out to both of those sides like, nah, you motherfuckers are the ones that are crazy, not us. Like, some shit just isn't normal. He has a hilarious joke about some people in Texas believe that they can catch gay as if it were like catching a cold or something like that. And he acts out this part of the bit where he's just groping his stomach and he's like, oh shit, I feel terrible. Fuck, I gotta sit down. I must have sat next to a homosexual in the subway or something. Which again is meant to highlight that fringe, ultra-conservative thought process of some folks on the right. And then while staying on that gay theme, flipping it back to liberals on the left, who have, in my opinion, an equally crazy thought in saying and thinking things like this piece of the bit where he says, liberals in New York just be like, oh, you think because a dude fucks another dude, that means he's gay? It's like, yeah, motherfucker, that is the definition of gay. But he highlights these two polar opposite but equally crazy situations. And I appreciate shit like that. I appreciate honest comedy like that. He also had a bit about genders and saying how he looked it up at some point in time, I think pre-pandemic, and there were 30-something genders. And then he looked it up 2 years later, post-pandemic, there were 72 genders. And as of, you know, the most recent count, there's 118 genders. And he goes off on this whole rant of saying that essentially 72 or 118 or whatever of anything is too much. We should just pick a number and stick to it. It's not too, you know, he agrees, you know, gender dysphoria and different, you know, folks from different paths in life or just wired differently. That all exists. Okay, agreed. He can concede that. But 118, come on. And then when some of the crowd oohed and ahed or whatever, he was like, all right, anyone who's offended, just name 9. He spoke a lot about family and being married, and as comics do, just men in general, even in jest, just like ragging their wives a bit. And he was saying how dad jokes, like the term dad joke, which are just corny jokes, exist because moms ruin the dads and take away them being funny, just with all the judgment and criticism constantly thrown their way. And he highlighted an important point, I thought, that all men really want in life is a vacation. And by vacation, what they mean is for the wife to go on a trip and give them some solitude. Is that the guys over at Flagrant are definitely innovators of just this whole comedy medium space. Namely with Andrew Schultz being the first one or one of the first ones to really break the mold of comedians only chasing the large streaming platforms and platforms in general, like HBO's, Netflix, Comedy Central, Amazon, etc., to put out their specials. He was the one that really broke the mold and figured out how to put content out more for free in not just like podcasts, but actual stand-up comedy in the form of clips and on YouTube, clips on social media to drive ticket sales, which is the bread and butter for most comedians, if not all. Well, most. And they definitely continue to innovate within that space in, you know, putting out comedy specials on YouTube for free, monetizing through there, to the point where many, many, many other comics, including Akash, for example, have followed suit with putting their specials out through YouTube. And famously, and by famously, I mean here within the Spun to the Universe, as I speak to the half a dozen of you listening to this, I inducted Andrew Schultz into the Spun Today Goats Doing Goat Shit list many episodes ago, related to the last special that he put out, where he wound up getting a deal with one of these platforms and then wound up putting up his own money to buy it back from them so that he can put it out himself. I forget the platform it was that he used, but definitely look up the Goats Doing Goat Shit playlist of mine on YouTube and search for the Andrew Schultz one. And he essentially put the special out on pay-per-view form on demand for a couple of weeks, made his money back threefold, I believe it was, as he broke down on the pod one day. And then after the fact was able, you know, since he retained those rights, able to put it out on YouTube again for free and able to monetize that way. And had so much of an impact and following that the next time around for his next special, I imagine all the large streamers are going to come back around, but with a much larger bag this time around, and make it make sense for him to go on Netflix or Amazon, etc. And I say all that to say that this is the ecosystem that Akash is coming from, right? And an intricate part of. And they continue to innovate. And something very innovative that I saw for the first time, that I saw here in Akash's special, was that the special had a podcast style promo. It was presented by Prize Picks, which is one of the sponsors of Flagrant and other podcasts. But it's the first time that I've seen a sponsored ad within a comedy special, which was very interesting to see. And again, innovative. And I'm sure other podcasters, other comedians that put out their content themselves will follow suit. There are already, when you put out your special on YouTube, the way that you monetize it, they're all ads. There are ads sprinkled throughout, but having a presented by and an ad read essentially by the comedian himself is a whole nother layer of monetization that they figured out and that Akash did with this special. And they were good in my opinion, in that by the time you realize it the first time that that's what it is, it's halfway through. So at first you kind of, is this another bid? What's going on? Because he's kind of still on stage, but you could tell something's different. And he speaks about Prize Picks. Oh shit, this is a promo ad. So it kind of takes you out of the comedy special a bit, but then it goes right back into it because it's not like a long 2-minute promo. And he also made it funny in that he had his mom in one of the drops and had his wife, I believe, in one of the others. I do remember thinking though that it does, I think one is good. Obviously, you know, whoever's, you know, presenting and sponsoring are, they're going to want two or three or maybe even more for an hour long special. But I think more than one takes you more so out of the special, maybe in the beginning before it starts, maybe one mid roll and one at the end type of thing. So that aside from the interruptions that are already coming from the YouTube ads, adding this one more within the confines of the special itself makes more sense just in terms of retention and stuff like that, I think. But again, that's just my opinion. Regardless of that, it was done tastefully, and more importantly, from a business standpoint, such a dope layer that they figured out of monetization to add to stand-up comedy specials that comedians put out themselves on YouTube. So hats off to Akash and team for figuring that out. And again, for putting out such a cool special. Akash Sings Gaslit, available now on YouTube. I'll link to it in the episode notes for folks to check out. Fahim Anwar's House Money stand-up comedy special. Fahim Anwar is a very funny comic. I first learned about Fahim through, I believe, Brian Redman. I always remember him referencing Fahim Anwar, mentioning him in passing. I just don't remember if it was the old Death Squad podcast or just like early episodes of Rogan. But either way, I've always enjoyed him and his personality when I've heard him on Rogan, which he's been on a bunch of times, and other pods as well, like You Might Be Drunk, I'm sure Ari's podcast, the old podcast, Skeptic Tank. He has since, by the way, for fellow Ari Shafir fans out there, finally put out the, or started putting out the UB Trippin episodes, his new pod, which is interestingly under the YMH Studios umbrella, which is Tom Segura and Christina P's company under the Sirius/Stitcher deal that they did over there, which were also, by the way, featured in the Goats Doing Goat Shit segment of the Spun Today pod. Again, check that playlist out on YouTube if you're interested. But yeah, I've always enjoyed Fahim's take on things. He was funny, interesting dude that was an engineer for Boeing by trade and decided to leave that behind. That stable, well-paying, any parents from any walk of life would be proud of career behind, and decided to be a stand-up comic instead, which incidentally worked out for fans of Fahim, such as myself, because we get to enjoy his content, but could have really went left. Yeah, I checked out his older special, which is also available for free on YouTube, as is this one. His older special is called Hat Trick, which he filmed at the Comedy Store, the world famous Comedy Store, where, if I remember correctly, it's called Hat Trick because he edited together sets that he performed in all three of the Comedy Store rooms, the Belly Room, the OR, and I forget what the other one is. The OR is the original room, the Belly Room, whatever. And there's another room at the Comedy Store. And he filmed in all three rooms, edited it together, and made that his Hat Trick special. Three rooms, hence the term Hat Trick. And then this special, which is his latest, he put out two different versions of a tighter full version and then an extended cut version about 2 to 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago on one, 3 weeks ago on the other, and already has a close to 150,000 views. Shout out to Fahim Anwar and his House Money comedy special. A couple of really funny bits that I wanted to highlight was him speaking about relationships, and he says that being in a relationship for most folks is the reason to be in the relationship, or a reason to be in a relationship, is so that you have someone to tell things to that are not interesting enough to tell anyone else and slightly more interesting than to keep it to yourself. I thought that was a pretty funny distinction there. Also playing on the whole relationship theme, he says how as men, we can't cry and express our emotions when we feel we want to. We can't come when we want to, until at least the woman does. And our whole lives are all about just suppressing liquids. So that was pretty funny. He does a bit about different TV high school drama shows. The bit where he speaks about the Cobra Kai kids and the Euphoria kids, and how funny it would be if one of the Cobra Kai kids transferred to the Euphoria high school and he just walks into a party where they're doing drugs and having an orgy or some shit. And one of the Cobra Kai kids is like, "Hey guys, where do you do karate around here?" By the way, a Cobra Kai fan, I've done episodes and segments of previous seasons of Cobra Kai. Euphoria, I've heard is dope, but I haven't seen it. But I know, you know, it's definitely a darker high school experience and drugs and sex, and it's where Zendaya popped off from. But that was just a funny concept. Oh, he does this hilarious bit, which I related to a bit, about flying business class versus first class. And I've never flown first class, but I have flown business class a few times. And I have actually spoken about it here on the pod in the past. If you guys want to check out the India episodes, I think there's at least three, maybe even four or five episodes where I broke down my trips, and especially the first one where it was my first experience of flying business class at that point. And I really broke down the nuances of like the differences between coach and business class and just the cool shit that I experienced. So if you're interested, definitely check it out. But he's doing a similar thing within this bit, Fahim Anwar is, and he's comparing business class to first class. And when you fly business class, you're like, you know, you go in, even from the airport experience, you go in a different line, it's usually emptier, you go straight through, security is super seamless, the plane you can lay down in it, you get these more gourmet-ish type foods and all the snacks you want and liquor and drinks. And in the bit, he's describing that experience and then saying, how could first class be better than this? What could be better than this? But you know, it's such a big jump from coach to business. And in the bit, he says how he opens the curtain from business class to first class just to peek in to see what the difference is. And he said everyone's just like naked and fucking with fox masks on. And then he goes back to his business class seat and continues eating his snacks. And I just thought that was hilarious. It was a dope special. I definitely recommend folks checking it out. It is available on YouTube. I will link to it in the episode notes. And it is, once again, Fahim Anwar's House Money. Check it out. CODA is the Academy Award-winning film of 2021. Actually, let me correct that. It came out in 2021, but it won the award for the Academy Award, aka Oscar, for Best Motion Picture of the Year in 2022, Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role to Troy Kotsur, who became the first deaf actor to win an Oscar, and also Best Adapted Screenplay by writer Sian Hedder. I hadn't watched the film until now, or until recently rather, but it was definitely a dope watch. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. Here is the official synopsis. As a CODA, which is the acronym for Child of Deaf Adults, Ruby is the only hearing person in her family. When the family's fishing business is threatened, Ruby finds herself torn between pursuing her passion of going to Berklee College of Music and her fear of abandoning her parents. And as we like to do here on the Spun Today podcast, because if we don't do it, who will? I'd like to shout out the writers. The writers of CODA were Sian Hedder, not sure if that's pronounced Sean Hedder, apologies, which was also the director. Also Victoria Bedos, and I'm definitely going to butcher this other one, which is Stanislas Gare de Malberg. Shout out to each and every one of the writers that put this film together. And a very quick aside, I probably want to circle back to the story in a later episode, but speaking of CODA, which made me think of this, Rogan had on his podcast in early February, episode 2096, he had Josh Dubin on, who has been on the podcast several times. Dope to listen to Josh Dubin and all he does, working with the Innocence Project. He's the executive director of the Perlmutter Center for Legal Justice. He works within this realm of criminal justice reform and helps get out wrongfully convicted or excessively convicted folks from prison. He's an attorney that's dedicated his time to that. And not all the times, but often when he goes on Rogan, he goes on with a specific guest that has been recently released to tell their story and share their insights about prison and the criminal justice system and just shed light on this whole taboo, usually topic. And the only reason why I'm mentioning this now is because he recently had or brought on a guest that also was a CODA, a child of deaf adults, by the name of Sheldon Johnson. Fast forward to a couple weeks after the episode aired, my brother sends me an article where one Sheldon Johnson, recently released from prison, and they started the episode at the outset saying that he was definitely guilty for what he did, which was assault, but they were able to commute his time because it was an excessive sentencing, if I remember correctly, which in this case, time showed that it definitely wasn't excessive for in this particular case, but I'll circle back to that at a later date. But this dude, Sheldon Johnson, comes out in this article with surveillance footage showing him coming in and out of an apartment where he lived, I guess, with a wig on and different clothing and different disguises almost. He had a blonde wig on. This is a tall, skinny black dude with a bright yellow blonde wig in one surveillance photo, then different clothing in another surveillance photo, all within the span of the same day, and carrying different things. And it turns out this motherfucker had a torso, which he had been amputating in his apartment and taking out body parts piece by piece. How fucking sick is that? Sorry, the whole CODA thing made me remember that, but I definitely want to put a pin in that, circle back to that story at a later date. If you guys haven't heard of it till this point, definitely check it out. The episode, you can listen to the Rogan episode 2096 with Josh Dubin and Sheldon Johnson for reference. And if I remember, I'll link to the episode, to the article where all this is broken down in this episode, and if not, in a future episode when I break this down fully, because I also want to circle back with the Rogan feedback after this news came out, etc. But now, let's shift gears back to the movie CODA. It was a beautiful story, very well written, very well told. It's full of a lot of heart, family at the center of it, sacrifice at the center of it. And it's this family it's a family of four. You have the two parents, which are deaf, the oldest son, which is also deaf, and then the youngest daughter, which is not deaf. She's the only one that can hear and speak. And she's a senior in high school, so, older teenager, but having this responsibility of, which as an immigrant kid, I'm sure myself and I'm sure other folks can identify with, being the translator for your family or for your parents or older relatives or other relatives that don't speak English. Imagine that reality, but on steroids, because you're literally the interpreter, not just from language to language, but the interpreter of sound, if you will. Like, you're translating everything and anything for your parents, for your brother, from doctor's visits to school to parent-teacher conferences, all from English to sign language, which has to add just a whole other layer of complexity to it. And it makes you realize, it definitely made me realize in the movie, when they masterfully cut from just, like, you know, we're seeing and hearing what's going on in the movie, but at times it switches POV to no sound, so you can see how the other characters, the three main characters of the father, Frank Rossi, played by Troy Kotsur, the son, Leo Rossi, played by Daniel Durant, the mother, Jackie Rossi, played by Marley Maitland, how they feel and take in the space around them with silence. It definitely made me appreciate of how much we take just our five senses for granted. But in this story, the main character, Ruby Rossi, played by Amelia Jones, is balancing that responsibility with just being a teenager and sometimes wanting to, you know, fuck off and go do something with your friends, and dealing with bullies in school and pursuing her passions, which she stumbled upon singing and joining the school chorus. And in that chorus class, her professor, her teacher, is Bernardo Villalobos, played by Eugenio Derbez. And he does an amazing job in this film. He's an accomplished musician. He went to that Berklee College of Music that she wants to go to. And he's really he plays the mentor role in the film. And that's from a story structure perspective. He's funny and inspiring and really pushes her to chase that passion, chase that dream of being a singer and getting into that school. And he tells her this dope line in the film that supposedly David Bowie said about Bob Dylan. He said that Bob Dylan's voice is like sand and glue at the same time. And that there's a lot of people with pretty voices, but that don't have anything to say, versus Bob Dylan's, for example, which is like a raspy, sandier sounding voice, but has so much to say. And then he goes on in the movie to start calling her Bob instead of by her name. And then ultimately tells her that her voice is not like sand, that it is pretty, but that it's also more like glue. And she emotes having something to say, having a story to tell, which is obviously informed from her upbringing and being a coda. The music in the film was really cool, especially all the choir practice moments. Played a lot of classics, really cool to listen to. The cinematography throughout the movie was beautiful. It was really well shot. And some parts of it, wherever they filmed, reminded me of the Hudson Valley here in New York, where I've done a couple of bike marathons, which the season's about to kick off again. It's about that time. But just aesthetically, visually, it looked similar, reminded me to that town, because it has a lot of like scenic areas. But anyway, so Ruby and her family, Ruby, you know, from the perspective of Ruby, she's dealing with all of this. And the life is, the day-to-day is essentially that the family has a fishing boat. The way they make money is, you know, they go out fishing every single day, wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning or something like that, go out, fish, come back to the docks, sell the fish to the distributors that are there who are negotiating and lowballing all the fishermen. And then they buy the fish from them and then, you know, sell and distribute from there on. And that's how the family makes its living. And it's all of them. It's the father, the brother, and Coda. And then from there, she rides her bike, goes to school, and, you know, falls asleep in school often. Kids tease her saying that she smells a fish. She's dealing with the dynamics of, you know, again, in every situation, having to be the one to look after her family, her father, her older brother that can't hear, you know, legally having someone on the boat that can hear for when the Coast Guard reaches out or for any updates on weather and stuff like that. It's essential / mandatory. And also negotiating for the father and brother for the fish that they all caught, and hearing and listening around to the other fishermen that are selling their fish, for example, for a higher price. And then they try to lowball the deaf crew because they can't hear. And then her having to stick up for them and just dealing with all this type of shit, right? All this extra stuff because of the fact that she's a coda. And that's the day-to-day dynamic. And then the older brother kind of feels like, you know, it's my job to be, you know, to be this for our family. You're not supposed to do this. You know, go to school. You like singing. Pursue that singing shit. Leave this to me, you know. And he feels kind of like being babied along because, you know, his kid sister has to look out for them in these kind of ways. And then they get into an argument and she's telling him, she's like, yeah, but how are you gonna deal with the selling and the other people and stuff like that? And the brother makes a salient point. He's like, let them figure out how the fuck to deal with deaf people, not us figure out how to deal with them. And ultimately, they decide to, as a family, start their own distribution because they're being undercut so much by the folks purchasing their fish. And business starts picking up. They're doing really, really well. But then at that point, she wants to exit. And, you know, the brother's coming into his own. The father, the mother is helping with the business now. And she wants to exit and really pursue the singing thing. But the family's like, how the fuck, you know, can you do that now? Especially at this time when we're literally just pivoting, put all of our eggs in this one basket of starting this business and it's actually doing well. Why would you want to leave? And, you know, the fact that they also need someone there that can literally hear. And then on the flip side, she's being pushed by her mentor, the chorus teacher, to definitely pursue this. Ultimately, she decides not to. And she has this talent show at school that the family goes to, where she sings and stuff like that. But she kind of, in her head, she has resigned to the fact that this is going to be her last hurrah in terms of the singing and putting on this show for all the families that came to watch the, you know, the senior class chorus. And this was one of those scenes that were really great in that, you know, she was able to sing and perform, but just from a storytelling perspective, how they did that POV shift. And, you know, the parents are there and they can see all the people around, you know, clapping and giving standing ovations and stuff like that, but they can't hear anything. Then us as the audience watching the film, the sound goes silent and we see them on stage dancing and smiling and singing, but we don't hear anything. And it shows just from their perspective, the family perspective, how they're taking in this experience. And Ruby sings this song that she's been practicing with her love interest throughout the film, leading up to this moment, which is "You're All I Need to Get By." Shout out to the Method Man and Mary J. Blige version, though. And, you know, she sings it, everything goes great. And the song throughout has one meaning, you know, in the whole, you know, love interest application of it, if you will. And then when she gets home, the dad stays outside in the yard. He's looking up at the stars and she stays. And he asks her to sing the song for him. And he puts his hands by her throat, by her vocal cord. And moments like this, like with dads and just like father-son stuff or even father-daughter stuff, chokes me up almost instantly. Even now, just rethinking about the moment. But it's such a touching moment between them. And he asks her to sing it for him. And he's feeling her voice as she sings it. And in that moment, that's the same exact song, same exact lyrics, takes on such a different meaning. And is so applicable to their relationship, the father-daughter and family dynamic relationship. That was such a dope creative choice, I thought, in the telling of the story. Then from there, the father pretty much pushes her now to pursue her singing dream. And there's this audition at the Berklee College of Music that they have to race to make the next day when the father makes this decision. And they all go as a family. And it's a private audition, so the family can't go in. They can't see her perform. So they're standing outside. She's a little bit late, so the person, and you know, didn't bring sheet music or anything like that for the person that's there to play the piano for her to sing in front of the folks that'll ultimately decide if she makes it into the school or not. So she's a little bit lost because the song that she's been practicing for that audition, now the person doesn't know the music and, you know, she's kind of stuck. But the mentor, the choir teacher, walks in that moment, being an alumni of the school, and offers and asks if he can play for her because he knows the song. They all agree. And then she goes on to start. She starts off pretty flat. He pretends that he fucks up on the piano and apologizes and asks if he could restart just so she has a minute to compose herself. And then around this time, the family, which is waiting in the hallway, sees a different entrance for the balcony of the theater, and they sneak into it and go up just so they can watch her perform. You know, it's completely empty. There's three judges sitting in center orchestra watching her on stage, and then the mentor playing the piano. They sneak into the crowd. She sees them and lights up, begins to sing her ass off. And then in remembering that obviously they can't hear her, begins to sign the song as well, which wasn't like the hoity-toity, you know, proper way to audition. But in that moment, she was like, fuck it, I'm doing this for the fam. And this is me, take it or leave it. And ultimately, they wound up taking her because she had that unique story to tell. But yeah, it was a really good, really dope movie. Really enjoyed it. I'm sure you folks have if you've seen it already. And if not, definitely check it out. And one last thing that I saw a meme of online, which really made me think, and I could just Google it to see if there's an answer out there, but I haven't. So instead, I'm going to ask it and pose it to you folks just for some food for thought, which is, what language do people that are deaf think in? Interesting, right? If you're born, you've never heard anything, we form our thoughts around the language or languages that we speak. If you're born deaf, what do you think in? But yeah, that aside, definitely a film that is worth a watch, and I highly recommend it. Coda, check it out. And that, folks, was episode 257 of the Spun Today podcast. Thank you very much for rocking out with me. I hope you guys enjoyed it, maybe even learned something, maybe took some morsels of entertainment from it. I really, really appreciate each and every one of you that take the time to listen. Before I let you go, though, I wanted to tell you guys about a really cool podcast that you should check out. It's the Fire Breathing Kittens podcast. Fire Breathing Kittens is an actual play one-shot podcast that plays various tabletop role-playing games with a season-long plot. Because there's a beginning and an end to each week's story, you can start at any episode. Every week has a different combination of four from the same rotating cast group of people. Join Fire Breathing Kittens as they solve detective mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. And you can check out the Fire Breathing Kittens podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on YouTube, or wherever it is that you get your shows. I'll add a couple of links to the episode description of this podcast episode. And last but certainly not least, I wanted to tell you guys about a few different ways you can help support the Spun Today podcast if you so choose. As I said before, as I've said in the past, and as I will absolutely say again in the future, I appreciate each and every one of you for listening. It's definitely motivating for me and means a lot that folks out there get some sort of benefit or appreciation from me putting out these episodes. If you'd like to support the Spun Today podcast, here are a few different ways that you can do just that. And then I'll check you all out next time. Peace. What's up, folks? Tony here. I hope you're enjoying the Spun Today podcast as much as I enjoy producing it for you. Here are a few ways you can help support the show. You can support the Spun Today podcast financially by going to spuntoday.com/support. There you will find a couple different ways that you can do just that, some of which will actually not even cost you a dime, such as using my Amazon affiliate link. When you go to spuntoday.com/support, you'll see my affiliate link to Amazon. Click on it and it will take you to Amazon's website, where you can do your shopping like normal. This will not cost you anything extra, but Amazon will pay me for driving traffic to their website. If you'd like to support the podcast more directly, you can do so by becoming a patron. At spuntoday.com/support, you'll also find my Patreon link. This is where creators such as myself can be paid directly by patrons like you. You can either make a one-time donation or schedule recurring donations if you so choose. There are also different tiers of support, and depending on which you decide to go with, you'll also receive some perks in return, such as early access to content, free digital copies of my books, free bookmarks, etc. That is, again, by supporting via my Patreon link, available at spuntoday.com/support. Similar to Patreon, at that same location, you'll also find my Ko-fi link as well as my Buy Me a Coffee link. They work very similar to Patreon and are different ways that you can help support the show financially. And last but certainly not least, you have the good old-fashioned PayPal donation button. Any which way that you choose to support is greatly appreciated. It all helps me do more of what I love, which is writing and podcasting. Again, go to spuntoday.com/support. You can also support the Spun Today podcast by rating and reviewing the show wherever it is that you're listening to this episode. I'd really appreciate it because it really does help. Also, follow me on all socials. At Spun Today on X, formerly known as Twitter. At Spun Today on Instagram. And at Spun Today on YouTube, where you'll not only find full-length episodes of the podcast, but also chopped up clips and additional content. And of course, you can follow the Facebook page at facebook.com/SpunToday. Another way you can help support the Spun Today podcast and also upgrade that stale wardrobe of yours is by going to spuntoday.com/support and clicking on the banner for Stitch Fix. Once you do, you'll enjoy a $25 discount to your first purchase. And the way Stitch Fix works is pretty cool. I use it and I've never been disappointed. You'll set up a profile You'll put in all the sizes for your clothes, as well as all the different brands and types of clothes that you like to wear. It's really simple and intuitive to set up. They'll show you pictures and pretty much give you a thumbs up or thumbs down option on if you would wear something or not. And you get to select all the brands that you already are used to wearing. With this information, there are thousands of passionate, trend-setting stylists who will curate a Stitch Fix box for you. They'll send you 5 items that you get to preview before they mail it to you, and you'll get to select based on the image if you like it or not. If not, they'll replace it with something else, and if so, they'll mail it to you absolutely for free. You can try everything on, and you have a few days to send everything back or keep the stuff that you want to keep. Then you can use that $25 credit that I mentioned towards your purchase of those items. Again, to freshen up your wardrobe and also support the Spun Today podcast, go to spuntoday.com/support and click on my affiliate link banner for Stitch Fix and enjoy your $25 credit. Do you want to start your own podcast? Have a great show idea that you want to get out into the masses, but don't know quite how to get it from your head out into the world? Well, here's how. Use the podcast host Libsyn. That's who I use to bring the Spun Today podcast to you. And now you can use them the same way. Using the promo code SPUN, S-P-U-N, you can open up your Libsyn account today and get 2 months of free podcast hosting. Here's how it works. Once you record your show, you upload it to your Libsyn account, where you can fill in your episode notes, upload your podcast art, and schedule when you want your episodes to release. Once you do that, Libsyn will take care of the rest. They'll distribute your show to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and all the other podcatchers that you choose, instantaneously and seamlessly. Again, go to Libsyn.com and use the promo code SPUN, S-P-U-N, to get 2 months free. Or use the affiliate link that's in the episode notes. Again, that's Libsyn.com, promo code SPUN. Take that great podcast idea from out of your head and put it out into the world. And as always, folks, substitute the mysticism with hard work and start taking steps in the general direction of your dreams. Thanks for listening. I love you, Aiden.
I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Grayson.
I love you, Daddy.